Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
My take at thetakeaway.org.
One of the things that went away a long, long time ago is the idea of a corporate charter. If you wanted to build a road back in the 1600s or the 1700s or in early America, and create a company to do it, you don't just fill out a couple of pieces of paper. You had to go to the government and ask them, and they could say no. How did we get here into this financial crisis? Later today, the Obama administration is going to release new regulations of the financial sector. But in his new book, Life, Inc., Douglas Rushkoff claims that it's taken, in fact, 450 years for corporations to go from being very, very skeptical institutions that we were scared of here in the United States to being liberated and made into almost, the same rights as citizens have, to then becoming actually a model for governance. That's where we went wrong. Douglas Rushkoff is in the studio. Doug, thanks for being with us.
Hey, great to be here.
So this is a fascinating story. Remind us of just how dubiously the framers of the Constitution viewed corporations back in the 1700s and before.
Well, framers of the Constitution had just lived through a kind of a corporatist dictatorship, if you will. You know, American colonists were living under the British East India Trading Company. And their revolution was really less against the throne than against corporations that had laws written for them that didn't allow colonists to trade. I mean, you could grow cotton on your fields, but then you couldn't sell it to other people. You couldn't make clothes out of it or hats or mittens. You had to sell it to the British East India Trading Company that had a chartered monopoly over cotton. They shipped it back to England, made it into fabric and garments, and then shipped it back to the colonies, and then you'd have to buy it again from them.
So corporations were a dirty word in this period. How did they evolve from being these dubious institutions that we wanted to avoid and regulate in very, very stringent ways to being actually liberated and equated, I believe, in the Supreme Court as citizens?
Well, it was a long, slow, and somewhat unsteady path. I mean, corporations basically live forever, so they can wait. You know, so they sit and wait until eventually some court gives them a little right here, a little right there. You know, originally the framers wanted corporations – well, many of them didn't want any corporations at all.
Right.
And they finally said, all right, well, let there be chartered corporations if they serve a purpose other than making money, you know, to build some kind of a bridge or take care of some great public need, because then we'll charter a company to do that and we can understand why they need a monopoly over that area to take care of it. And then slowly but surely, business people realized that by aligning themselves with corporations, they could get kind of unfair advantages on the supposedly level playing field of free market capitalism. So that if you were a railroad tycoon, say, now you have government monopoly protection to build your railroad, and what do you do with that? You become a real estate speculator for all the land alongside the railroads.
And indeed, that's how the fortunes that were built up around the railroads were made, as a combination of creating an infrastructure and then riding the rising value of the real estate that built up around it.
Right.
Now, some would say that that narrative is also the narrative of increasing wealth and prosperity in the United States, and that there's no way to reverse it, nor would we even want to.
Well, I don't know that you can reverse it. I mean, and it is the story of really the expansion of wealth from 1300s European early nations right through the conquest of South America and America, the conquest of a lot of Africa. Mm. I mean, it was a very effective means to expand an economy and to expand empires, you know, at the expense of other peoples in other regions. But it definitely worked and grew the economy. The problem is we've ended up being born into a society that sees that experiences this growth is now necessary. What we did was we used growth and an expanding economy to expand our nations. But now we have the imperative of growth. And that's very different.
How did money change as this idea of the corporation change, and how is it changing again in this troubled economic environment?
Well, it's interesting. You know, the money we use is actually – it's a derivative already. You know, it's not even real money. I mean, I look at money as a media theorist. So way back when, we had local currencies that were really grain-based currencies, and it left the rich out.
So if you lived in a rice town, you traded in rice. You lived in a wheat town, you traded in wheat.
And you got receipts for that rice or receipts for that wheat, and the receipts would lose value over time. But the problem was the middle class started to do really well under that system. So King said, let's create coin of the realm. Let's lend currency into existence instead of letting people develop their own. They made all these currencies illegal, and they created debt-based currency.
Last thing, and you know, I could talk to you for the whole hour, but we got to go. When the Obama administration announces these new regulations today, and the financial channels and some of the conservative commentaries on the financial channels say these are unprecedented regulations of corporations, historically, what do Americans need to know to put that in context?
What they really need to know is that big corporations love top-down regulation of this sort. This is regulation that's occurring on a corporate scale, and it will always favor corporations. It's just like when you regulate the toy industry and say you need to do $100,000 of testing now to release a toy on the market so that there's no red paint in it or lead paint. Who does that favor? The big corporation. Who does it put out of business? Anybody who makes less than $100,000 in toys.
Douglas Rushkoff, professor at the New School University and author of Life, Inc., about how our life became – what's the subtitle, which is fascinating?
How the world became a corporation and how to take it back.
That's great. Great narrative. Thank you, Doug. And headlines now from – not Femi, okay? From Mark Garrison.
She's here, too.
Yes, she is.
She's got other things to do, though.